Fantastic. Now, God is powerful. God is powerful in you. If God is powerful and God is in you, then God must be powerful in you. Therefore, God must be able to be powerful through you. Amen. Just turn to somebody else and encourage them with that for a minute, okay? Just preach to them. You've got 10 seconds each. Preach to them quickly. Just impart something. God has got us on a journey, as He always does, but I want to take a few minutes to just recap the last 5 months and bring it all together and just see where we're all at, or individually and then as a church. God was encouraging us at Faith Camp a lot in terms of being a people of authority and being a people of faith. And a lot of what came across at Faith Camp was about the authority that we have as believers. No matter who we are, however long you've been saved, no matter what background, no matter how you see yourself, what God was encouraging us is to see who we are in Him, who He is in us, the authority that we have, the faith, the dynamic of faith that we have, the power of the word that we have in our lives, that when we take hold of that and apply that in our lives, the results, the success, the fruitfulness, or whatever that we take hold of the word, that we begin to see in our lives. And God was encouraging us that as believers, we have authority. We can break through things. We can jump over things. We can not be restricted because of circumstances, but because of the power of the word, we can take hold of the truth, and the facts must change to come into line with the truth. And so for a couple of months, God was encouraging us to pick up that dynamic of faith in a stronger way, to exercise authority as a believer over our own lives as well as through our lives, because there's only so much authority can be exercised for your life from leadership. But really where you're going to see breakthroughs is when you exercise the authority that you have as a believer by taking the word of God and the power that is in it and speaking that, applying that, confessing that in your own life. That is when you're going to really see victory. And so we're part of a corporate body that professes faith. We speak faith. We pursue God, we have a dynamic of faith, but that is only earth in your life when you apply that yourself. I or anybody else cannot apply the word of God in your life for you. You can't apply the word for me. I have to take hold of whatever it says in here, whatever I hear, whatever somebody else preaches or declares, whatever I'm on the receiving end of, whether through somebody else or whether I bring that myself, I then am the only one that can make that real in my life. Nobody else can do that for me. The only way I'm going to mature in the things of God, the only way I'm going to fulfill what God said last week about succession and seeing others come after me is if I take hold of the word myself, if I take hold of the things of God myself, if I stand up as a believer and take hold of everything that it says in there about me, it's only then that I actually see the purposes of God outworked. The purposes of God will not be outworked in my life because of a prophetic word. The purposes of God will not be outworked in my life because somebody lays hands on me. The purposes of God will not be worked out in my life because I fall over when somebody prays for me. The purposes of God will not get worked out in my life because my wife applies it in her life. The purposes of God will not get worked out in my life because you apply it in your life. The only way the purposes of God will work out in my life is if I take hold of everything that God says to me or about me through the word or personally and apply that and take responsibility for that. Nobody else can do it for me. I have victory in my mind because of applying the word. because of submitting my mind. I have victory in my body because of applying the word and because of speaking the word and thanking God. I have victory in my life because things oppose you and you have to take hold of the truth because there's nothing else you can take hold of that's going to get you through it. But as I stand as an individual believer with responsibility for my own life, then I can see God work through my life to touch others. So God has been encouraging us about really picking up that baton of faith, living with that dynamic of faith, that every one of us as believers has responsibility for our own life. Where you are at with God is because where is where you choose to be. You are where you are at today, sitting on that chair. You are at whatever place you are with God because you have chosen to be there at this moment. Okay? You are not further on than God because of wanting to be, or you're not further back because of wanting. You're exactly where you are at today because of the choices you've made. What you've chosen to believe, how you've chosen to pray, how you've responded to the word of God, or not responded to it. So all of us are where we are at because of the choices we make. Now all of us are blessed because we all, as we said last week, all of us, because of Pastor Colin's life, have probably a greater revelation of things of God, and we've been helped in different ways, and maybe we move on with God more because of his life and the succession that we have as part of Kingdom Faith. Hopefully in every church, people are further on with God because of the leadership. If they're not, then go and join another church where the leadership are further on, and do you know what I mean? In that kind of setting. But we want to be in a place where the leadership are further on, but we benefit from that. But at the same time, you have to take responsibility to apply that in your own life. So God has been encouraging us. Why has he been doing that? Well, because he's been speaking about the harvest, and because our lives increasingly are going to become more and more focused around other people. More and more over these next years, our lives will become more and more focused around other people. You are going to have less and less time to think about yourself. You're going to have less time to think about yourself and to organize your life around yourself. And we're going to become more and more focused around other people's lives. But the great thing is, that's what you want. And that desire is going to grow. Well, actually, you want your life to be focused on others because that's the thing that has become more important to you than anything else. Because of what God's doing and how you respond to what he's doing. And so God was encouraging us about this dynamic of faith. And then linked with that, he began to speak about love. We know that in Galatians 5:6, it talks about that nothing else matters except faith being expressed or faith being worked out through love. And so linked with faith, which releases the power of God in one sense, faith without love, it can be quite hard. But faith expressed through love enables us to receive and enables others to receive. So linked with that, God has been speaking about love. And he put it in a different way than maybe just lots of kind of sermons on what is love and everything. He kind of used this love language stuff where we understand that that we love in different ways. We have the spirit of love and that enables us to love. But also if we understand different personalities and characters and who we are, that we express love in different ways. Some of us express it a lot more verbally. Others express it with a lot more touch and closeness. Others express it more through giving gifts. Others express it because they want just quality time with people. And there's different ways that we primarily express love to one another. And God was helping us to see that if we understand each other, get to know each other, then some love in a certain way and others love in a different way. And if we understand how each other primarily loves anyway, then we can see where we have maybe missed one another in the past, but now how we can connect more in a much deeper way because we understand how somebody else ticks. And therefore we can then learn, because love is to do with the will, agape, then we can learn how to love one another, not just based on how we would like to love people, but actually to see what would bless somebody else and how can I express love to them in a way that helps them to receive and be blessed from me. And so God is speaking about all this stuff because also, as well as this love amongst us as a church, the Bible says that the world will see when, as we love one another, that we are his disciples. There's something the world sees when there's a people of love. So faith being expressed through love, God has been speaking about that. And then linked with all that, God has, over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, however long it is, God has been really emphasizing the fresh encounter with him, to seek him, to meet with him. We had an awesome revival days a few months or so ago when God was just moving in a fresh way amongst us, just bringing that fresh simplicity of just a passion for Jesus. Because at the end of the day, underlying everything is just a love for Jesus, isn't it? If everything else was taken away, no vision, no purpose, no destiny, no involvement in this, that, or the other, if it was just simply a passion for Jesus, what would you do? Would you be satisfied? Now, we know there is all that stuff, but what is our motivation? If you're just in a room and you had no vision, no direction, no purpose, you were never going to have anything else, but all you had was just relationship with Jesus, would that be enough? See, what motivates you now? What inspires you now? Is it the vision for your life that is the motivation? Is it the purpose for your life that is the motivation? Or is the motivation just simply, Jesus, I just want to know you. Jesus, if I had nothing else, you're enough. Is there a longing or something going on inside the depth of your being that just says, Jesus, more than anything else, I just want to know you. I don't care whether I ever see anything else happen through my life again, whether I ever see anybody else saved or healed or the underlying the whole lot, Jesus, I just want to know you. Because that's partly what God was saying. So he's reminding us about being a people of faith, about taking responsibility, each one of us, for, as a believer, who we are, and added to that, expressing faith through love. But then underlying the whole lot, it's like the Lord saying, your whole motivation just needs to be a passion for Jesus. Because where there's a passion for Jesus, man, you'll want to share that with everybody. The gospel doesn't become a project or an event or a bit of evangelism or a cap on the head. Now I'm being evangelistic, now I'm not, and you take it off. You know, when there's a passion with Jesus, you just want to tell people. You just want to see things happen. But passion with Jesus is expressed not just in what you do, but actually whether you spend time with him or not. Passion with Jesus is expressed in just getting in a room on your own, saying, Jesus, above everything else, I just want to be with you. I just want you to light my fire. And it's like God's been encouraging us, but also challenging us. Underlying all of that is a passion for Jesus. Speaking through all of this lot, God has been speaking about the harvest. And more recently, the last few weeks, saying we're out of famine, we're in abundance, and it's a time of harvest. And it's fantastic to see some of the things. We'll get some testimonies up over the next few weeks. There's some great things happening with some individuals, but maybe they're not quite ready to give a bit of testimony yet. There's some awesome things happening in some people's lives where they're being completely set free from mental disorders, from demonic issues, and all of that kind of thing. And it's awesome to see what God is doing. But I just want to come on to something this morning that I believe God wants to say and do amongst us. And but just before I do that, last week God spoke about succession, and it's kind of just God is getting us to, hopefully. God is getting us to think in a different way. So much Christianity is based around thinking about yourself, about your own life, about your own walk, about how much you're getting built up, how much you're getting fed. Now, we all need that, but what you'll find is as you give, you end up receiving so much more. See, why is God encouraging us to take responsibility? Because he wants to give us more people so that we're more responsible. But when you have more people, you find that you're giving a lot more. You find that you're having to find out, well, what is it actually saying here? How can I help this person? What am I going to put into their life? They have a need. They have something going on. And, you know, God doesn't just want us to ring up Gary, Pastor Gary in the office and say, look, I've got the situation. I mean, fine, get some wisdom, but have a go and see what God does through you. Right? And God is kind of encouraging us to take responsibility as believers, because our lives are going to be based around giving to others more and more. And therefore, you're going to have to be drawing on what is in there more and more. And what you find is when you have to, it's all there. It's all there within you. And it all comes out when it has to. And if you're like, God wants to give us more people so that what is in there begins to flow out. Just let's turn to this scripture here, 1 Kings 18. Here's the story. For many of you, this would be well known, this story. And just want to pick out a couple of bits. We're not going to do a whole kind of thing on this in this chapter, but I like going through the whole story in detail. We just want to pick out a few things. Obadiah, who had a real heart after God, he was one of Ahab's, the king at the time, one of his servants. And he saw Elijah in verse 17. He'd seen Elijah before that. And Elijah told Obadiah, go and tell Ahab that I'm here, that I'm around. And Obadiah went to Ahab. And in verse 17, he told the king that he was here. And so Elijah comes to Ahab. And the first thing that Ahab says to Elijah is that you, you troubler of Israel? And then Elijah replies, I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So word was sent throughout all of Israel and to assemble the prophets on Mount Carmel. Now, they obviously all arrived, and there were two altars that were set up. One was set up for the prophets of Baal to call down fire from heaven, with, you know, calling Baal to kind of do that. And then there was another altar that Elijah built to call down fire from heaven, and he cried out to God to do that. But what was taking place in this situation is Elijah knew that there was no way Baal was going to respond, because Baal is an idol. He's not alive. There's no life in an idol. And his trust in God was obviously fairly strong, because you imagine you're in front of 850 prophets plus thousands of people from all over the nation. And as far as Elijah was concerned, he was the only one that represented God. And so he's pretty confident in what is going on. And even to the point where he's taking the mick, making fun of all of these prophets as they begin to call down fire from heaven. They even begin to cut themselves, and they begin to get into a frenzy. They're getting really wound up, and he's even, well, maybe your boss, maybe this God's gone on holiday, maybe he's away, maybe he's having a sleep. I don't know where he is, but he's obviously not alive. He's not doing anything to respond to what is going on. Now, there are numbers of people out there that's exactly how their life feels. They feel like they're crying out for something and they're not getting the answers that they need. And there's a frustration. Many even beginning to cut themselves, wound themselves, take things out on themselves or take things out on others, because they're crying out and don't seem to be getting an answer. There's something inside crying out that says, I need help, but I don't seem to be getting the answer that I need. And there's some people here this morning and you feel like that. There's some people this morning, you feel like you've been crying out for something and you're at the point of frustration. Even one or two people here, you've actually been cutting yourselves and taking things out on your own body. Some of you, one or two people not eating properly and just doing certain things out of frustration and out of a place of crying out for something to happen, but it just seems there's a lid on everything and there's brass over your head and everything just seems to be bouncing off it. And God this morning wants to bring that breakthrough into your life, wants to bring that freedom, wants to bring that deliverance, if you like, into your life this morning to take off all the restrictions and limitations. There's some people this morning who are watching on the web stream, and you're in that position as well. You're in a place where you're totally frustrated. You feel like there's no answer, there's no way out of what you've been in, and where you are in your room, whoever you're with, God wants to set you free and bring some restoration into your soul and make peace in your soul today so that you're not struggling and trying to get through something. And in one sense, this story represents a bit of where you are. Now, this guy, Elijah, there's a confidence there. He knows that God's going to turn up and do something. And in this scenario, once these guys have done their bit and there's no fire from heaven, he then says, okay, everybody, just stand aside. He builds his altar and then tells them, look, just get all these gallons and gallons of water. Soak the thing. Soak it in water, because that's not going to stop my God from doing what he's going to do. And if you notice through the story, often Elijah refers to God as the Lord. And so all the way through the story, he's declaring that God is the Lord all the way through. And so there's a confidence of faith here that God is going to do something. And it's interesting, when he prays, he doesn't pray a long prayer either. He stands there and he just says, Father, or he says, God. He says, you basically, I know who you are and you know who you are. Now show yourself to these people and show them who you are. It wasn't a big long prayer. But then fire came down from heaven, burnt up the whole thing. And then the response of the people was, they then cried out, the Lord, he is God Almighty. Now, in this room, I don't know how many of us are here this morning, but in this room, every one of us has the same spirit in our lives as Elijah had upon him.
That's right.
Every one of us has the same spirit in us that was upon Elijah. He was in what seemed to be an impossible situation, but yet on the inside he knew God was going to do something. You see, there are lives that you know, people that you know around you that are in all kinds of stress, in all kinds of frustration, in all kinds of difficulty. You know as well as I do, some people that are cutting themselves, harming themselves, not eating properly because of what is going on in their soul. We know it's all spiritual at the end of the day, but their soul is afflicted, and therefore they're responding out of frustration and responding in different ways in their body. Now, I just want to link this into the next part of the story before we go any further. Elijah then says to Ahab in verse 41, he says to him, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Or just before that, let's look at verse 40 is important. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. This is after the fire came and burnt up the altar that he'd made. Don't let them get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. That's pretty, a bit of a bloodbath. But the Kishon Valley, when you see that in different places, it's a place of victory. It's a place where God gives enemies of Israel into the hands of God's people. It's a place where God has dealt with things that are unrighteous, where things that are out of line with God's purposes. It's where God overtakes the enemy and brings victory for the people. That's often what the Kishon Valley represents when you see it in different places in Scripture. And Elijah brings these guys down into this valley to have them slaughtered. To have the victory in the situation well and truly stamped that God is the Lord. And here's the victory in this situation. Now, we'll come back to this in a minute. But then in the next verse, he says to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go look towards the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. The servant came back and said, there's nothing there. But Elijah said seven times, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now, he just had an amazing victory over all of these prophets. He then gets this sense from the Holy Spirit, because there'd been drought for 3 or more years, so there was no sign of any rain whatsoever. But he had in his spirit, I can hear the sound of heavy rain. There's something about to happen. Now, God has been speaking to us about the harvest. You're out of famine and you're in harvest. But we could say, well, we don't see it though. We see a little bit here and there, people getting saved, and it's great what God's been doing. But it's like, but hang on, God, we hear the sound of it. You're saying it, but we don't see it. Now, what is Elijah's first response? He hears the sound of this heavy rain. He says to the king, look, mate, because basically Ahab wasn't into following God. He said to Ahab, look, you go and do what you normally do. You go and eat and drink, but I'm going to go and pray. I'm going to go and pray in what I can hear the sound of. And the first response that he has when he gets the word of the Lord is to go up the mountain and to pray in what he's hearing. And he begins to pray in what he's hearing, and he keeps praying. And the first few times the servant comes back, the servant says, look, there's nothing there, mate. Come on, why don't we just go and join Ahab and have a cuppa, have a, you know, something to eat, you know. But Elijah's like, no, I can hear the sound of something. There's something, I can hear it. There's something that's about just to get released on the whole nation. There's something that will change the whole landscape, change the look of everything. There's something about to be released. And so I've got to pray this through. I've got to be in that place until there's a release of something. And so he kept going and he kept going and he kept going until the seventh time the report came back. Here it is. There's a cloud. It's as small as it's miles out there, though. But what's Elijah's response? Quick, go and tell Ahab. What happened to Elijah then? The Spirit of God came on him in power, tucked his cloak in, and, you know, he shot off running ahead of Ahab with his stallion horses, you know, with his chariot. Must have been pretty quick, but there's Elijah, like the $6 million man, you know, striding ahead, you know, of the king, and he's, you know, how many horses he had in his little speedy, go faster striped chariot with alloy wheels on it and you know, wide tires or whatever. He would have had the best horses. He'd have been going at however many miles an hour. And there's Elijah with the Spirit of God going, see if you can catch me, you know, all of that kind of thing. Why? Because the power of God was on him. Suddenly, something was happening. He was in something that he wasn't in half an hour before. Before he just heard the sound of it, but he prayed himself into a place where that's it, I've got it, there's a release, the power of God is on me and I'm on the move. What is God saying to us? He's saying we're in harvest time. You can hear the sound of it. You can even begin to see the beginnings of it. But what is God saying? He's saying we need to see some breakthroughs in maybe some of our own lives, but we need to see breakthroughs in other people's lives, because that's what we're here for now. And in order to see breakthroughs, you hear the sound of the victory that God wants to give to somebody else, to put into somebody else's life, which is basically to be saved and then to begin to walk with God. And at that point of salvation, you know, God wants to break off every demonic stronghold, every limitation, every bondage, every limit, you know, everything that does not look like God. God wants to break through in people's lives as they get born again, right? But why is God saying about having this spirit of faith expressed through love, underlying that, a passion for Jesus? Because every one of us is called to take responsibility for the purposes of God in and through our lives. Therefore, there are people around you at this time that need a breakthrough, that need something to happen. But you may be the only person that can go up the mountain on their behalf and actually press in there with God. And even though one report coming back, the first one might be, I don't feel anything's happening. The second report might be, hang on, I forgot to do this. I better go and do that first before I pray. The third report might be, whoops, I need to go shopping before the kids come home from school, or, well, I haven't got time to get up early in the morning because I've got a long day and I don't want to be too tired, so I'll just pray when I get home from work tomorrow night. The fourth report might be, well, if I pray, nothing's going to happen anyway because I never seem to see much happen, so I won't bother. The fifth report might be something else. The sixth report, then there's always a reason why nothing's happening. Or why? What is there any point doing anything? But what does Elijah do? He's heard the sound of something. And so he's like, I'm not going to give up until I see a release, the release of what God has put in my spirit. It could be a person you're praying for. It could be a couple. It could be a family. It could be whoever it might be. But as you begin to set yourself, I wouldn't necessarily suggest bending down like he did and put your head between your knees. Most of us probably couldn't even do that. But walking up and down is quite good. Saves you damaging yourself by doing what he was doing. But what that position was, that's the position they in those days that they gave birth to children. So he's in this giving birth position because that's how they gave birth then. So he prayed in this place where in his mind and his understanding, I'm going to pray until I give birth to what is on the inside of me. So if God is saying we're in harvest, right? That means awesome. We're going to see things we've never seen before. If we've seen what we have in famine, what are we going to see in harvest? In abundance time. So we're in this place now, but within this place, it doesn't mean, oh, well, where is it then? It means that God put something on your heart. God's put a person in your spirit and you want to see a breakthrough in somebody's life, but you might be the only person that can step into the prayer room and get into that place where you're saying, I'm going to give birth to the victory that God wants to put into their life, because somewhere the victory's got to come from somewhere. Doesn't it? Where we're going to see the fruit, right, is where we're looking for God to do something. There's been a number of things during this year, and over the last few years, where people have constantly been reaching out to individuals or in certain areas of the town. You know, reaching into lives, reaching into lives, reaching into lives, praying into things to see people saved. Loads of sowing, loads of sowing, loads of praying. That's where we're going to really begin to see a lot of the initial harvest. God's not just going to rock up on your door and you suddenly see loads of stuff happening because suddenly you think, oh, hang on a minute, it's harvest time, I better start praying. Where we're going to begin to see the fruit first is where people have really been sowing and praying and giving of themselves, preparing the ground where the soil now is ready and ripe for something to go boom, whether it's an individual or into a particular community. That's where we're going to begin to see where we've been focused, where we've been reaching out, where we've been looking for God to do something. That's where we're going to see the fruit, first of all. So it's not just an automatic, we're in harvest time, and you say, well, okay, God, where is it all? What he's saying is, we're in harvest time, so get up the mountain. Stand in the gap for those people that he's placed in your heart. No, I don't just mean stand there in your morning prayer time, you know, and say, Father, I thank you for Joan today. Thank you. You're going to touch her life. You're going to save her. Thank you, Jesus. And pray in tongues for 30 seconds. So, well, hallelujah. Amen. That's that one done. Right. Now I pray for somebody else now. And we're talking about birthing their lives, birthing victory for their lives, getting a victory for their soul. Is this all right? Yeah. And so that means we need to give ourselves. But the funny thing is, though, isn't it? When you give yourself to something, you begin to get more of a desire for it. You know, you feed something and it gets stronger. You starve something and it gets weaker. You move towards something and a momentum begins to accelerate. Something begins to build up. And when there's a momentum, it's much easier to move in that than if there's no momentum. But first, you have to break past that inertia point, that kind of getting that energy going, getting that movement going. But once it's going, it's like there's a momentum of something that works through your life to touch other people's lives. But we have to take responsibility to be fueling that momentum in prayer and with just a passion to know Jesus. Because I can't do that for you and you can't do that for me. Every one of us has to do that in our own walk. But we're encouraged as part of a body to move together and to do something together. But as you take that into your respective life situation, scenario, wherever it might be, it's like something more of God gets released because you begin to feed that momentum of God and what He's sending you to do. So God is saying it's harvest time. There's a release of anointing for the harvest, as we heard a few weeks ago as we responded. And there's an anointing for that. Then there was the activation of that the following week. Then God is speaking about succession. It's about disciples. It's not just about getting a few people saved and that's it. But it's about this succession. Seeing a whole generation of people turn round and come to know God. We're here to see a generation change, to see a nation change, to see a nation turn back to God. We're here to see these younger generations as they come through in the next few years, to see their generation impacted and transformed by the power of the gospel and what God wants to do in and through their lives. We're here in this very short time of history that we have on earth to see God's purposes fulfilled for the time in history that we're here for. And we want to give ourselves fully to that. And however God wants to express that through our lives and all the respective areas of life and society that we're all in and God has called us to be in. Because that's where you're going to see a lot of stuff take place. So the power of God came upon this guy, but the power of God came on him when he was praying or just after he'd finished praying. Interesting, isn't it? There's always some sort of price to pay, which we don't like as people. It's like, well, we want to see more happen, but then it's like, well, there's principles in the word. You're anointed and you have the power, but also we want to see a release of that power. So to see a release of that power, we want to make sure we're connected and engaged with the power source. That comes from just a simple passion to know Jesus. When there's that passion for Jesus, you begin to find there's a few things He puts on your heart, people to pray for, and you begin to pray for them. And because, not just because, yeah, we want to see people saved, we want to do that. We can do stuff because we want to see it happen, but that doesn't actually mean it's fueled with a real passion to know Jesus. If we're not careful, you can do what you do because you like what you're doing and you're into what you're doing. Because actually, at any given moment, we should, in one sense, be able to hold lightly absolutely anything we're doing so that if God says, right, I want to take you from there and I want you to put you in a completely different situation, off you go there now. Every one of us needs to be able to go, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, I'll let go of all of that and I'll go right over here and do whatever you want to do here right now. If we understand God's wisdom is greater than ours. That we don't hold on so tightly to my vision and what I want to see happen and the way I want to do it and how I want to work things out or what I want to see and all that, that it is so, if somebody else comes along and says, hey, hang on a minute, we need to sharpen up there. No, this is how I'm doing it. This is how I'm, you know. There needs to be a stewarding of wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're involved in. However God wants us to steward that, we've got to be flexible to move with Him. Whether you're in your workplace, whether you're responsible for an area of ministry or whatever you might be in your life or doing in your life, that we're available for God to do whatever He wants to do at any given moment, that availability. But I believe God wants to just touch some people's lives this morning and just deal with some of these things. There's only a few people here this morning in this first part where you just know there's frustration. You just feel you've been crying out and you feel like you've just been hitting a ceiling and nothing seems to be coming back. And you've been frustrated. Some of you might even have been cutting yourself, damaging yourself. There might be eating disorders going on. There might be other things you're doing. I don't know what you might be doing, but there's things where you know you are taking things out on yourself in some way because of the frustration, because of the sense of aggravation, because your soul is crying out for something and you just haven't had that answer, that breakthrough, that release. And there's some strongholds that God just wants to break off of people's lives this morning, bring you into a whole new place of freedom. Amen. So let's stand, shall we, together. If we could have Chad, if you're around, mate. Chad. And we're gonna pray for a few people. You might be here this morning, you're not a Christian, you don't know Jesus, and you know your soul's afflicted. You know there are things that are not right. And you're like, man, you know, I feel like that. That how he describes some of those guys. They cry out to their God. And this Baal God, who's a false God, they're crying out to him. And nothing was happening. Nothing was coming back. They weren't getting what they needed from him. They were getting frustrated. They were getting angry. They began to even harm themselves. I'm not saying you're doing all of that. But there may be some people this morning, and you're here, you don't know Jesus. And you know your soul, in one sense, is crying out to be satisfied. And the only one who can satisfy your soul and bring you peace is God. It's Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus, you're coming before him. And because he is perfect, because he is holy, none of us can reach him in our own effort. But when you take a step towards him, he takes a step towards you, and he comes, and that's what he did through the cross. He comes towards us, and as we stretch out and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to be set free from all the things that have separated me from you, all the sin, the pain, the things that I've been doing in my life that have separated from me from you. I want to turn away from those. I want to be forgiven of those. I want you to deal with all of this stuff that's going on inside me, and I want your life in me. It's like you touch Jesus in his power. And God wants to put his presence, he wants to put himself into your life. And when he puts himself into your life, his power comes upon you to touch your life, to bring freedom from all this stuff we've been talking about. And when his power comes in and touches you in that way, you then are at peace in your soul, in your life, because God doesn't leave things undone. And when you come into relationship with God, he becomes your father. It's a relationship where you become a child of God. He becomes your father. He's not like an earthly father that sometimes can make mistakes and let you down and all of that. He is a perfect father. Always has the best for us. He is without sin. He's always works things out for the best in our lives because he is perfect. And you can come to a perfect God today in any imperfection you might feel you have. But the amazing thing about God, because he's a father, he comes with his mercy and touches our lives. And when he touches any of our lives with his mercy, it's like his life then gets released into our life and we're changed, healed, free, because his power is so much greater than any other power or any other restriction or difficulty you might be having in your life. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's asking a bit of a bold thing this morning, and we're not wanting to pick individuals out and make people feel embarrassed in any way, but in this context of family and in the body here, we want the whole body to be healthy, full of life, and every part of the body now is kind of gunning and rooting for any other part of the body that just needs to be healed, needs to be restored, needs to be whole. So the whole body moves together, functions perfectly together. So if you know there's been situations, issues, whatever going on, you just feel, man, I've been crying out in my soul and I just don't know how to get out of this. It just seems like it's been bouncing off the roof and coming back down. I want this freedom. I want to be free from this frustration. I want to be free from this whatever's going on in your life. Whatever could be mental disorder issues. There could be emotional kind of issues that have been going on. There could be certain sicknesses that have started to affect your body because of certain mental or emotional turmoil that's been going on. Because there's been so much worry or fear that's been grabbing hold of your life. It's beginning to have physical manifestations in your body now. There's some of you that have got eating disorders and God wants to set you free this morning. Now, some of you are struggling because you're like, I want to be free, but I don't want to be free. I want to be free because I want to be free, but actually I quite like being in control. But when we control our own lives, it always ends up pretty messy. And the only one that can bring that real peace and freedom is Jesus. And as you just take one step towards him saying, Jesus, I've got this tension going on. I want to be free, but at the same time, I don't. But I just take a step towards you because really I want freedom more than I don't want it. And so I take a step towards me. So come and meet me as I take that step. Meet me and do what you want to do so that I actually, the whole of my being wants that freedom and lives in the good of it. So if you're in any of these kind of category, any of these things that we've said, any of these scenarios, just come down to the front now. We're going to pray with you. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just come to the front. We're going to pray because God wants to bring real freedom. If you want to come right into the middle, just right down the front, right in the middle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now that you touch every one of these lives. Thank you. Just begin to work and touch every life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you come to the front, just give whatever it is to the Lord. Just give it to him. Don't tell him a whole story. Whatever it might be, whatever you has been going on, just say, Father, I give you right now. I give you this difficulty. I give you this whatever it is. Just give it to him. It's like you're putting it on the cross right now. Just give it to him. Father, I give you right now this affliction, this difficulty, this bondage, whatever it might be, I just give you it right now. I just let it go. I let it go in my life right now, and I leave it at the foot of your cross. That is not my identity any longer. My identity is who I am in Christ. My identity is not an affliction. My identity is not a disorder. My identity is not pain and shame and guilt and hurt and restriction in any way. So I just let go of all that stuff right now, and I just cut that off from my life right now in Jesus' name. Just cut it off in your life right now. Just say, I cut myself off right now from everything that has restricted me, everything that has held me back, everything that has caused me to shrink back. I take authority right now and I cut myself off from all of that stuff right now in Jesus' name. And I speak to my soul to be restored right now. I speak to my body to be healed right now. I speak to my mind to come into order because I have a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Father, I thank you for your victory in my life right now. I thank you for your freedom, for your liberty. I thank you, Father, that I come into that freedom right now, out of limitation, out of restriction. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just have a few guys just to come and pray? Jonathan. Steve, Pastor James, Jane. We're just going to just pray for you guys right now. Just take authority over stuff. Just be open to receive. If you can have your hands out in front, if you like, you're receiving, you're going to receive something from God right now. It's like if somebody's going to give you a gift, you'd reach out and take it. God's giving you his gift of life in a fresh way, gift of freedom right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you just for the gift of health right now, the gift of your freedom. We thank you that every restriction is broken off, every limitation is broken off right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.